Good evening and welcome to North State Now. Linda Bott here, and of course we are live on this very evening here. Where are we? Gosh, this is the 7th of March. This is a live show, and I'm excited about that because I've got a musician that you're just hearing. We came in with that sax. Wonderful solo with Greg Takimoto.
Hi.
Hi. Very
happy to
good.
Be here.
And this is our baby.
Yeah, I'm in.
Owner and founder of the new Reading School of Music.
Oh, Reading Music School.
Reading
yeah.
Music School.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I want you to go online when you're talking, when we're talking with you tonight and all of our listeners. What are we going online to? Reading Music School.
ReadingMusicSchool.com.
And you're going to see wonderful pictures of Greg, great snippets. I'm very excited because Greg has moved to Reading. And moved back to Reading. Did you grow up here?
I did grow up here, yeah.
Okay,
I went to high school out here.
Let's talk about, I just want to go right into that I'd heard about you through Cleveland Bonet.
Wonderful player.
Great player. And we do know that on the North State Now, the first Thursday of the month, yours truly here is going to be bringing to you musicians. I've had Gary Stockdale on the first, like a couple Thursdays ago, my friend from L.A. that played with me for years in L.A. In the early years of L.A., who has been up for some, you know, Grammys and Emmys and stuff like that. And he's really fantastic and does all the Penn and Teller music and all that stuff. Anyway, so I really like to highlight the music, and I like to, you know, talk about the arts. It is close to me, close to my heart, and has been since, I don't know, since I was 7 or 8, and my parents brought home the Capitol Record Collection.
Oh, yeah.
So that was how I got turned on to so many different wonderful singers of that era and standards. How about you?
For me, it was not that direct. I think I was into rock and roll saxophone. I think I listened when I was in fourth grade to Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back, and they have a killing tenor solo in there, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And when band started in fourth grade, I told my parents I wanted to play saxophone, and everybody told me to start on clarinet, and I just refused. And I don't even know really why I refused. It was just something inside of me that said maybe saxophone's more for you, and it turned out well for me, I think.
So, well, really, they're both wood instruments, but the clarinet has a different pitch.
Yeah.
And so if you got turned on by the sound of the sax, it's like, the clarinet isn't the same thing.
Right. And it's something that's exciting when you listen to that solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that's energetic about the saxophone.
It's something very bossy about it. Like, you're the boss, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So then, I started playing in the school system here in Reading, you know.
Really? Who was your teacher?
Going way back.
Sorry about that.
Dale Wilson, I think,
okay.
was my junior high teacher. And Dan Neese was my Enterprise High School teacher. And then I worked privately with Roger Hogan, who was
okay.
a local saxophone
big names,
player.
Big name, you know. Those names have rung through and true for a lot of musicians that grew up here as well. So did you come to Reading from – let's talk a little bit about your history and your family. Like, how did you – how old were you when you moved to Reading?
I was 1 year, 1 year old. My parents moved from Sacramento. My dad got a job from KMS. Which was James, his father was my father's boss.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love the background because Greg's here and I'm like all excited about introducing him. He's new, but just found out that Enjoy had him on and I'm like, oh, I'm all over that. I love it. So now I see the back. I'm from Sacramento. That's my hometown.
Oh yeah. It's a great place, you know.
So is that where your family's from?
They're from Chicago.
Okay.
And then, they moved to Sacramento to be closer to my mother's parents. And then, they moved up to Reading when he got the job at KMS and,
he was in marketing. What was his?
Yeah, advertising.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
I love it.
Yeah. Then we were, you know, we just stayed here. And, you know, as you know, Reading's a beautiful place to raise kids. It's safe. It's good community here. So I think my parents felt that. And, it was good. I had a great childhood here.
Let's talk about what happened when you got the bug and you said, I got to hit the road, Jack.
Oh, well, I was going to Chico State, like many people, from the North State. They
mm-hmm.
go to Chico State.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember, I was playing some gigs at bars and doing the college thing and
playing sax,
playing saxophone, yeah, and doing like my best Maceo Parker impersonation, you know, out there. And it was cool and I had a lot of fun, but I didn't think I was fully prepared for a life of music, right? I didn't mm-hmm. really know what I could do. I was training to be a symphonic saxophone player. So that's
Oh, really?
So as a classically trained saxophone player.
Okay, what's the difference for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think jazz is more free and expressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's expression in classical music, and any time you play music, you're kind of revealing a little bit of side of yourself, you know. Classical maybe was more rigorous. I think there was many more things.
You had to follow the specs exactly.
Yeah, very more a lot of technical things that you had to do in classical music. A perfect sound. You have to get the nice rounded tones. You have to be able to articulate your music. Where jazz, even though that holds true, and a lot of my classical training helped me a lot when I started playing jazz, it's more free and more, you know, I would say more personally expressive, you know, soloing and stuff is different.
You know? Right. So you were trained classically.
Yeah, totally classical. I went to Chico State. I think his name was Richard Bohm, was a clarinet, great clarinet player. I also took jazz lessons from Roger Hogan out there. And then, but I didn't know, you know, I don't know if it's just the age that I was at. I just didn't know what else I could do. I thought, I'm playing bars and doing, you know, I was doing like festivals and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was it. That was the extent. And, you know, my playing also reflected that kind of finality, that feeling of finality. Like, this is it. So I would just play pentatonic lines and I thought, this is great. This is what every saxophone player does. But then, yeah, my friend and I got together. He was a guitar player. And we put our fingers there. It offered like a sister school partnership. And so we just put our finger on the map at the farthest sister school from Chico State. And that happened to be Rhode Island.
Really?
Rhode Island College. And we went there just on a whim. We just decided.
Hey. Your guitar player friend and you.
Yeah, we went together. He didn't last as long as I did, but I stayed out there.
And, did you guys have a duo where you go around? And
We had a band and everything. And
right.
We actually met musicians out in Rhode Island, started a little band, and it was fun writing music for that stuff. But, you know, like it wasn't until I went to Rhode Island and I met my teacher. His name was Greg Abate. He was a Ray Charles saxophone player, played with Richie Cole, played with Phil Woods, the late great Phil Woods.
A different worldly outlook.
Oh, and the music scene out there is different than in California. I don't know all of California because I didn't play all around California like that. But the music scene is very serious out there. So, you know, after getting my butt kicked a few gigs, I was like, oh, man, I'm behind
a little bit. Better step up, buddy.
Yeah. You know, but
you're talking about classical at that point, or were you just kind of kicking it around like, I can play jazz, and then you play with the big boys, and you're like,
right,
you know.
Better
step up.
It's exactly that. You know, it's like when you step into shoes that are a little too big, you know you're going to grow.
Yeah.
But certainly at 20, I wasn't ready.
Did you have a mentor out there at that time that said, okay, you know what, you've got, because there's something nice about bringing people up. You can hear and now and then they've got the chops. They're just not schooled. And then you bring them on gigs, and then you see that they are rising to a better musicianship. Did you have somebody like that for you in Rhode Island?
Yeah, for sure. It was all Greg Abate. Greg Abate, I would attribute him to most of my musical, my thinking towards music and my pursuance of a career in music, you know?
Now, was he, tell me a little bit about this gentleman, because I know mentoring is just, and here you are doing this now. And I love the fact that, you know, you can talk about the mentors, the shoulders that carried you along the way. So now you're shoulders for other people. I think it's so important. You give back.
That's how we grow. I mean, that's how the whole scene, that's how we don't let it die by doing that, you know?
Right.
We let it live that way, you know?
So your mentor is living through you now. We're going to take a quick break, but I would like to know, is he still living? And do you tell him about what you're doing now?
Oh, yeah, we're friends on Facebook. He's a phenomenal player. I mean, you know, one of the best, the top of the top. I mean, he's recorded with everybody, you know.
How fun.
So, yeah.
Say, buddy, I'm in Reading and I'm doing a music school and I talk about you with my students.
Yeah, and he hears clips of me playing online and he's always like, oh, that sounds great, man. And he was my composition teacher. He was my piano arranging teacher. I mean, he did it all, you know.
Oh, God,
he's one
I
of those
that.
Guys that can shut his eyes and write music just out of his
orchestrate.
Head.
Orchestrate.
Right in his head, you know, and it just, yeah, he really showed me the level that I needed to be at, you know, to perform the way
How
I wanted
wonderful.
To.
And it took you under his wing.
Yeah, definitely.
He had patience with you.
Definitely. Let me come to his house.
Oh,
yeah,
rather than a judgment, which will shut you down. It's that other stuff that helps you grow. I had great mentors in my life, too. Let's listen a little bit more of Greg Takemoto on the way out of this break. You're listening to, this is Linda Bott, by the way, on KCNR 96.5. And 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. And this is North State Now, live on this Thursday night. A little of Greg playing. What are you playing on this one?
I'm playing alto saxophone. I'm playing a 1939 balanced action Salmer, which is different than what I play now.
But, all right. Yeah. We're going to talk about instruments and stuff when we get back. This is so cool.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Greg Takemoto here on KCNR 96.5 FM. This is Linda Bott, and this is North State Now, and we're listening to a track called
Play. I wrote, it was the last song I wrote before I left Rhode Island, so we got the chance to record it and put on the album.
Let's hear a little bit more of this.
Mixed this at a place in Boston, Chill House Studios, and we mastered it from my good friend Jack Rometta's studio, Star Trek Studios in Rhode Island.
There's no denying the Hammond B3. I mean, you call it. I mean, there's just no. You can hear that just resonate throughout. So, this is your composition.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually went to school for jazz composition after I kind of figured out what I was doing.
So I'm liking, so is it, you've got the sax on top, and we're hearing, but you're, what's the resonant instrument? Is it keyboard that's playing where you're?
Yeah, the pads.
The pads.
Yeah, so he overdubbed a couple things. He has, just synth going through, but then also Hammond with the Leslie. And then this is George Leonard on guitar, beautiful guitar player, my good, good friend.
Clean.
Super clean. Berkeley, he's a Berkeley grad. He's a good player. And, you know, I played on a couple of his albums, too.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we kind of...
Here's that B3. Ooh.
Yeah, it just...
What is it about that? Just kills me in the gut.
It's just the pad. It's the warmth of the Leslie. Yeah. And that's Cameron Greenlee. So Cameron Greenlee's on the B3. And then that's my... They're all kind of my friends. And Pete Jeffrey, one of my good friends out there as well, is on drums. So I get to record with like my best friends out there.
And this album is called?
Kiyoshi.
Okay, and we can download this album?
Yeah, you can download it on Bandcamp.com. It's kind of like the underground way to release your albums. And it's on Bandcamp.
Kiyoshi, which means?
To sit in silence.
Well, I mean, this composition, I mean, I know we're talking over it, but still... This takes you places.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was an emotional... You know, when I write, usually it comes out all at once or it just doesn't manifest into anything. I have lots of sketches and stuff, but this came out all at once. I just sat down and, I wrote it. I brought it to Greg Watte, my teacher, and he was like, this is beautiful. You know, you should lay this down. So we had already laid down 99% of the album, and I was like, guys, let's do one more. So we got them together. You know, and like I said, like Cameron and Pete and George, they're all my great friends, so they understood. We all took the trip up to Boston, and we... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a beautiful player. I mean, you know, Cameron played with the Scottalites, toured with them worldwide, played for hundreds of thousands of people. So, and it's cool to hear him play different things. He's an amazing jazz pianist, amazing organ.
So when you sent me MP3s, why did you pick the song out of your album?
I just think it sets a nice mood, a tone. Like, my album is a lot of different things. You know, it has some characteristics of funk and rock. And
there you are, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I picked these. Mm. I think I gave you two songs. And they're, like, I think, the most emotionally close to how I feel about music and, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to have this. I should have said, you know, I'm going to play the radio host, bring me your album.
Yeah.
I want to read the liner notes. It's a big deal for me to read the liner notes. I don't know. I'm old school that way.
I miss those.
I want to read the liner notes, who you dedicate the song, who played on it, why we're sitting there. I want to look through everything dedicated, where you're living, who mastered it, all that stuff. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know I miss that stuff a lot. That's something I think is lost in this generation, or this MP3 online stuff. Mm. It, you know, there's something cool about getting a physical album.
Yeah, and you smell it.
Yeah, and reading it.
I don't know
it
what it is. Pull out the sleeve and get turned on.
I know. I feel the same way.
Vinyl. I grew up in vinyl, so I just bought another vinyl. You know, I'm playing my old Chet Baker.
I love Chet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Put you in the mood, Chet Baker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. So this was the last song I wrote before I left, you know, and I wrote a couple more, but this one really manifested. And I write all on piano. I never write on saxophone, really. I just write.
Oh, really?
I hear everything on piano first. And then it wasn't like that always, but yeah, nowadays it's pretty much only on piano because I can kind of see the puzzle as I'm playing, you know. Saxophone, you're not looking. You're
right.
Feeling things, you know, but piano, you really can see the structure of what you're laying down.
Yeah, that's
cool. It should all come out. Like, for me, when I write a full song, it all comes out. Half an hour, 45 minutes, and I have the general idea of what I want to do. And then I refine it over weeks, but then, yeah, it, usually if it doesn't happen that way for me, it never happens.
So now, what are you doing when you're, we're going to have you play a little bit. If, you know, I just like to have these things unfold. Again, we're talking tonight with Greg Takemoto, and you're listening to a composition of his with his album,
Kiyoshi.
Yeah,
self-titled.
You can go to readingmusicschool.com and check out about the school itself and lessons for all ages. And when did you start teaching?
Oh, so that's interesting. I actually got thrown into the fire, I think, before I was fully ready. I started teaching at 21, And
thank you, Jared.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I
didn't want to hear.
Yeah, no, sorry. So I started teaching. I got a job at Philharmonic Music School pretty early, and at a job called, at a place called More Than Music, who Nancy Shanahan runs it. It's a beautiful music school down in South County. And yeah, I started teaching, and I didn't really even have a method or a way to teach. I kind of was feeling my way through it. I didn't really know how to play piano at 21. And then as I taught, I just started kind of getting obsessed with making people better, and it felt good. It was a totally different thing than performing, you know. Performing, I think you have your ups and downs and your swings and your high points and low points. But at this, you know, teaching, I could kind of show people the way that things that I've learned or things to keep their head about or tell them about the ups and downs of music and kind of keep them centered through it, you know. And so I started developing a method, and about 5 years later, I had a full-blown method. I was using, perfect pitch training courses and Gary Campbell's lessons, and I was using, you know, I had a full routine.
And did you have a full? How do you gig and have students? Well, that's a big thing, and a family.
Yeah,
did you have a family then?
My child is six, so not that early, but yeah. It's always a balancing act. You know, mm-hmm. You know, it's always a balancing act when you're performing, because you put so much of yourself into your art. And I think art is different than other kind of hobbies or activities, because it takes a lot of behind the scenes practice. You have to put so much behind the scenes so that when you're in front of, you know, hundreds of people, thousand people, you're at your best. You
right.
Know? So yeah, it's always hard. You know, I'd go and teach a middle school gig. I'd do like a middle school band class, and that was after school program for a couple hours. Then I'd either go to the Philharmonic or I'd go down to More Than Music. I'd teach until about 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then on the gigs, I would schedule my gigs around mm-hmm. that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some Fridays I'd take off.
But, now you're married.
I am married.
And is your wife or your partner?
No, my wife. Yeah, yeah. That's all right. Yeah, yeah.
Is she in music?
She's musical.
Yes.
She did nothing, you know, she's okay. Actually a writer, a brilliant writer, you know. And
like an author of books?
Short, I think, like prose and poems. And
oh, fabulous. You know,
that's what she went to school for.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, that's kind of how I met her in that vein. And yeah, she's a beautiful person. She's insightful, and she's a great mom. In Rhode Island, you know, she did a lot of the heavy lifting when it came to raising a kid, because, you know, like I was gone in the weekends
right.
and stuff. So, yeah, it was.
Doing a lot of gigging.
A lot of gigging, yeah. It was probably. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a true musician, you're gigging all the time. So when you marry somebody, you are still marrying their art.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for me, I was fortunate that she understood.
Right.
That. Yeah, because
it takes a certain person that doesn't feel jealous or,
right.
You know, because you are like, you're marrying not more than three or four people that are all wonderful artists, but you know, you have the teacher, you have the writer, you have the player, you have the, all of those things. And then you're trying to be a good husband or a good provider and, you know, create a family where, but you know, you may be sitting there watching a movie and wanting to go compose.
Right, right. I mean, that's a tough line to walk, mm-hmm. you know, and it, you know, it's maybe not like I was watching a movie and wanting to compose, but I'm always like a perfectionist, right? So when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my mind is kind of blank, I'm just thinking of ways I gotta practice or things I should improve on or mm-hmm. A cannonball solo that I heard or, you know. So, yeah, it's crazy being a musician.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Greg. You sound like you've really been a complete professional in all level working musician on every level, studio, in front, behind, on all scenes of the music scene.
Fortunately, yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
So, how do you, what is your daily routine? How many hours a day do you practice? Or do you practice every day? Do you take a day off? Do you do like the morning, the nights? Is it whenever you feel like it? Or do you have a structure?
Well, my practice routines are super structured. I do like an hour of scales, and then I try to do like an hour of standards trying to figure out, maybe I'll do, instead of standards, I'll do a transcription. So I set aside blocks and then an hour of free play. Now that can get shrunk to a half hour, but I do blocks so that I have time to do everything. And I don't always have 2 to 3 hours to practice. I try to keep it under two. And I try to practice at least 5 days a week.
That's like an athlete.
Yeah. I think
a major workout.
I think honestly, to be good at what you're doing, you have to put that time into it, because there's people that are doing that time, you know. And one thing that Rhode Island taught me was that music is competitive. And if you have an off night, someone else is going to grab that gig.
Yeah, they're standing right behind you.
Yeah. And towards later on in my career, I think most of it was like my friends, because I had a community. So, you know, I wasn't nervous. But in the beginning, for sure, if you're not doing your research and you go to a GB gig and they're playing Jump, Jive, and Wail, and you don't know that horn part, you know, you're not going to get that gig.
Right.
You know, you're going to miss out on that money.
Right.
And
they have an expectation.
Yeah.
You're getting hired to do the gig. And, yeah, we're going to have to take a break. Again, my guest is Greg Takimoto, and he is the founder of Reading Music School. You can go to readingmusicschool.com. We're going to go out on this commercial break. You're listening to Linda Bott here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is North State Now. And let's listen to a little bit more of that composition. We're going to go out with that first tune again and then come back with a second cut as we go into our next segment.
Awesome.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klitsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service dish network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's. After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Back to KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM here. This is Linda Bott, and this is North State Now. You're listening to a cut off of Greg Takimoto's album. The cut is called Lawless. Greg is with us.
Yes, hi.
For this whole hour, very excited about that. And you have a school called Reading School of Music.
Reading Music School, yeah.
Greg, why don't I switch it up?
That's okay, yeah.
You're going to know that about me now that you're going to be, we're going to play some gigs together that I'll. Sometimes will remember the lyrics backwards.
Right.
It might drive you crazy.
Not at all.
But it's happened, and once I lock it in, it's very, very difficult to uncross the wires.
Right.
So forgive me.
The funny thing is, those are the two different names that I was going to choose from, but I thought the acronym RMS would sound cool.
RMS, I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking at the break. I always like to hear about, like, okay, you've left, now we have the Rhode Island, you're at the top of your game, you know, you're the A player, you know, every, like, great musician. You're traveling, you're with bands, you're doing studio gigs, you played on so many albums, and in fact, you can go online and, you know, you hear some of the great work that you've done. And then you, decide that you need to come back and you need to be close to your family.
Yeah, that was a decision we made, as a family. My family made that decision. My wife left a family of 7 siblings and 2 parents and, cousins, and, it was, you know, so I, you know, yeah, it was a big move for us, but there was a period where we didn't see my parents for 2 years, and you know, I have a 6-year-old and they have a grandson, and I didn't feel like it was right for them not to be able to see him or not be involved in our lives in any way, and yeah, and they can do everything. They don't need help, right? It's just, you know, I just wanted to kind of be here and have some more time.
But there had to be a deciding factor. I mean, not to get too personal, but
right?
What was that? The click, because, you know, you're at the, like you said, it's like very comfortable. I have earned my respect, and
yeah.
Then go, okay, I'm starting all over, coming back. And like I said, I heard about you through Cleveland, just went on, raved about, oh my God. So I put you on my list and called you right away.
I appreciate
to
that,
do
yeah.
some gigs, sight unseen.
Right.
never heard you.
I know.
but I'm so excited. I really, right. This has been fantastic. So I said, I want to interview, so this is how we get to know each other.
Yeah.
And so what was the click?
I don't know. I think not seeing my family for 2 years was tough. That, you know, we tried to make it out here every year, or they would come and visit, and just traveling for them was getting more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, financially trying to come out here twice a year or whatever was getting to be too much. And so there was really no one thing. You know, I took a vacation with my parents, you know, 5 years ago, and we had talked about it. So it was like 5 years
mm-hmm.
where every year might have been the year, and we just kept putting it off. And,
right.
The real thing was I didn't want to move here when my kid was in – my child, William. I didn't want to move here when he was older. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to pull him out from junior high, pull him out from high school.
Young enough that he's still, you know, making the new friends now.
Right.
How's he liking it?
He loves it. I think he adjusted better than anybody. I mean, like, right from the gate.
Kids are resilient.
Yeah.
You know, and, when they're young like that. So then you were talking about, so your dad was in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And had started up his own company after KMS.
Yeah.
And then your mom, you said, was into healing.
Yeah, she was a licensed clinical social worker, and she opened up a building, an office building, and rented it out to other therapists and massage therapists, and she called it the Healing Heart Center. It was on Eureka Way, old Eureka Way, mm-hmm. Right by the old Bartels, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, I remember that, you know, because, you know, she put a lot of love and time and she fixed up the place. She knocked down walls. She, you know, she built a parking lot. I mean, she really went all in, you know, and in a funny way, and kind of, I never really thought, but I'm kind of following her footsteps doing that, you know, and it's funny how history is cyclical, right? It's funny how we kind of do the things that we've seen or maybe just in the back of our mind.
Right. And how much your parents do have an imprint on your life.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like you said, a subconscious way that you know, the best way to teach somebody is by example.
Right.
The hard work and the dedication and the passion. You know, it's like, how could I not do that? Look what I came from. Your brother, we're talking about earlier, your brother.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Beautiful musician.
And you said he's classically trained pianist and then went to San Francisco and got a fine arts degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to meet him.
Oh, he's an amazing artist. I mean, at my place down on Shasta Street, 1824 Shasta Street, I have artwork hanging up, and my mom's a fine artist as well, so she has fine art up there. My brother has pictures up there, so it's kind of like a gallery a little bit.
It'd be nice to have a little cocktail reception there sometime.
Well, eventually, we'll get there.
That would be really nice. Okay, I'm always thinking about how we're gonna. Okay, so let's talk about your instruments and how you heard. It was in fourth grade when you heard a saxophone. What was the song?
Yakety Yak.
Yakety Yak. Okay, how could I? Yeah. And everybody said play clarinet, but your heart and your mind and your ears called you to saxophone.
Apparently, yeah. I remember being pretty defiant. And
so there's alto, there's tenor, there's barry.
Yeah.
And
soprano.
Which would have been Kenny G. You hear his soprano stuff all the time. But there's a certain thing about the alto.
Yeah. It's bebop. I mean, it's, you know, I play them all. You know, I like them all. I, you know, for certain qualities, the tenor is a beautiful instrument. And in college, I played mostly tenor, you know. But when you listen to Charlie Parker or Cannonball Adderley or, you know, even guys like Kenny Garrett, you know, Will Vincent, you know, there's a quality, a sonorous quality about the alto. It sings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to find that voice, you know. You have to go through a lot of instruments, and saxes aren't cheap, so I was always selling a horn to get a horn and selling a horn to get a horn.
They all have their own personality.
For sure.
Why do you think that? I mean, I guess it would be like, you know, not every engine that comes off the what do you want to call it, you know, through the system is the car. Not every car is exactly ideal. They all have a feel. So an instrument. Now your instrument that you have here is how old?
It's 1966, debatably 66. It could be 65, and it's a Selmer Mark VI. I just started playing this when I moved here, so I've only been playing this horn since August, maybe. And before that, I was playing a 1939 Balanced Action, which I love, man. I mean, it's a beautiful horn.
And that's what we heard you playing on these cuts.
So these cuts, I'm playing a 1939 horn kind of in a modern vein, you know.
What's the difference between the 66 and the 38?
Well, you know, the metals that they used, I think the French brass is probably the best brass of all ever used, you know. I think a lot of post-war metals were used.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So they say that like some people have melted down, you know, church bells or gun shell casings, and it went into, you know, the
kind of like the Red Violin. Did you ever see that movie?
I didn't, but I've heard a lot about it.
You need to check it out after what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, so gosh darn, I want you to know that we got to take a break again. Let's make this a short one, Jared. We're going to go out with your cut. Lawless, and when you come back, we want you to play your 66.
Selmer Mark VI.
Now, yeah. Why is it called a Selmer Mark VI?
It's just the name that they gave it. There was a Selmer Balanced Action, then the Selmer Super Balanced Action, then the Mark VI. You know.
Gosh, sounds like a gun.
Yeah, I don't know. They just have to name them these powerful names so people get interested in them, you know.
Selmer Mark VI. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're listening. We're interviewing him with us tonight. Oh, my gosh. He's going to be my good friend, and I know he's going to be fantastic when we perform together. Greg Takamoto, yeah. And he is the founder of Reading Music School. Oh, did I say it right that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reading Music School.
I want to say Reading School of Music, but it's Reading Music School.
Reading Music School. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's go out with some more of this super bad cut. I'm just going to say bad.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Such a great time tonight talking with Greg Takamoto. It's so cool. And talking about your instrument, I didn't know you were going to bring it tonight. I'm so excited about it because we're going to have you play live a little bit and play this new instrument you've had for 5 months. That's a 66 Selma.
Selmer Mark VI. Selmer Mark VI. Yeah, named after Henry Selmer. But this is like the gold standard for saxophones. I think everybody should play a Mark VI if they get a chance to. And it took me this long, you know, I'm 40, so it took me this long to get one, you know. But a good friend of mine, Jack Scuncio, from down, Rhode Island, sold me his, before I left, you know, for a really, really good price. And, he was a student of mine and everything. And he kind of buys and sells horns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
now he's going to be fascinating. I bet you just to hang out in his store would be a trip.
Oh, he isn't even a store. He did it. When he started taking lessons with me, I'm so into vintage horns. And then I kind of got him into it, and then he just had the capital to just buy horns, and now it's kind of a side business.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was cool.
And they all have their own personality, their very own tone.
Sure.
Well, you've got your instrument open, and who started this thing about your axe, man? Did you bring your axe?
I don't know. That's a guitar thing, right?
Oh,
that's
I don't know. I thought it was every kind of instrument.
It is every instrument now, but it started as like a guitar thing.
What?
I don't know, maybe
bring your axe
for that.
I don't know. Axe wouldn't be drums.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't think. Do you bring your kit?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. I hope it's.
I don't even know what to tell you to play, but you know, except for maybe when you talk about the fact that you rehearse a couple of hours a day, you inspire me. I need to do my scales. I'm singing tomorrow night. Do your scales. Blow it out.
Okay. Let me.
Oh, you've got.
Yeah. So. Okay.
When you do the vibrato, and let's talk about what you with the typical thing when with the sax and what you have to do with the reed. Like, you know, you got to wet the reed, you got to make the reed. People don't understand with wood instruments what the reed, how important that reed is on the mouthpiece. Can you share that?
I actually went away from wooden reeds. I'm actually playing a fiber, like a synthetic reed.
Okay,
so there's no wetting. It does tend to be a little bit more spitty, I guess, but yeah, I like it. They're consistent, right? Wood reeds aren't consistent, so they're you never know.
So they squeak more. Is that what happens when the saxophone squeaks? Is it the reed?
It's like the some of them are stiffer. There's no consistency. It's no quality control. It's all from organic materials. So,
okay.
One, you know, I'd open up a box of 10 reeds, which are very expensive, and I'd, you know, I'd spend some money, and you know, one or two would be good players, and the other, you know, the other eight would have to.
And where do the reeds, the wood reeds, come from?
Reed, you know, like plants by the river.
Okay.
Specific ones. I don't know the history of
that. I'm curious about that because, you know, because you have to line that up and screw it in just right. And so I'm just curious as the professional that you are, I'm going to go back and ask this question because I'm not sure. Where does the squeak come in when you hear, like, you know, from
usually
instruments?
From biting a reed or not judging your horn very well. I mean, I'm definitely pulling back. I didn't want to play too loud in the mic or anything.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Gosh, it was cool.
It's softer than the morning sunrise. Yeah.
The feeling, definitely got the feeling there. So.
Yeah. Trying to play without comp, too, is a challenge, I think, on any kind of single-noted instrument, right? You have to hear the changes correctly. You have to hear the beats correctly. You have to know where everything's landing, you know, on your fingers. And yeah, but the reed is different. I switched from wood to plastic just for the consistency. You know, it might be like slightly less, not as good of a sound, you know, but the consistency wins over. So these
surprises. No surprises.
No, and I can pick it up and play a note without warming up. Mm-hmm. There's, you know.
Now, do you play clarinet?
I do play clarinet. Yeah, I just bought a clarinet. Yeah.
So when you gig, what is it that you bring?
My alto, really.
Do you do flute?
I do play flute. I'm not a great
flautist.
You know.
So you bring your sax, and that's your main thing that you feel like I'm going to be like, okay, we are playing the last three Wednesdays at Wind River in Elements. And it'll be Cleveland, Bonet, you, Bruce Kalin, and Dan Kuechel's coming in out of Chico.
Great.
It'll be a great group.
Great lineup.
And, you know, I gotta add some new songs to the list. And, we'll be at Elements, and so it's date night for a lot of people, and they have always steak and lobster, and people like to come and make it a date night and listen to music and dance, and, you know. So I just go into the whole, like, romance feeling and, like, what is it going to be? I don't know, and we have a list, and I'll call it, and I don't know what it's going to be that night, so.
Right, yeah. I'm
it's
into
really
it.
It's really cool, yeah. And then I like how everybody just throws it around and you solo, somebody solos, and I'll just come in and we all listen like, okay, I've decided I'm coming in at the break and, you know, it's, you know, whatever. You know, we'll figure it out.
And isn't that like the beautiful part of jazz music is that the communication is different, right? There's not a set thing we have to do. We're up there and we're saying, you know, notes to each other, and people respond to those notes, and that's the communication. And that's,
right.
To me, like that, you know, it's beautiful. To me, that doesn't get more intimate than that, you know?
I agree. And this is what I love about Cleveland playing, is that we don't talk with each other. It's not like we hang out with each other. But when we play music, man, in that moment,
right,
it's he is tuned into me and I'm tuned into him, and I have no idea what his chord changes he's going to play.
Right, right.
But that helps me to just, I don't know, hold on to a note, feel, have a feeling. I don't know what it is, but it's beautiful in the moment.
Right, it is. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And it's the part of me that is attracted to that style of music, you know. And it's the only American musical art form, you know, that has ever solely come out of the United States, you know, it's been jazz. So it's important to keep that alive. It's important to continue to push that. It's important to have students. It's important to show the importance of jazz, you know, because without that, man, we lose our only real connection to the oldest, I think, musical form in America, you know, the United States. That's the United States.
Well, I bet you you're a fascinating teacher. I can just tell you just from the honor you have for jazz, the institution.
Well, I do, yeah.
And so I bet, you know, what's the first thing when you have a young student that comes, I want to play saxophone. What would be like in that first hour of that class? What do you bring? Like, do you ask them, why do you want to do this? Let's talk about what fits you well. I mean, where do you go?
Yeah, for sure. So I set out the groundwork of what I expect from them, you know, and a lot of things that maybe they think that I'm going to say, I tell them, I don't expect your practice. You know, I don't look at it as my responsibility to make you better. It's your responsibility to make you better. So I'm here as like a conduit of information. So no matter how much you want, you just keep asking me. And I tell them to have good communication. But mostly in the very first couple of lessons, I just try to teach about the importance of tone, the importance of what notes do, you know, how they fall. You know, like the second of a scale always wants to pull to one. The five always wants to pull to one. The six wants to pull up to eight. These are things that people, I don't think, show you. You know, these notes are like arbitrary, right? So we just play these notes and we mess around, but they have like this significance within the change, you know.
Wow.
Peach,
now, see,
you know?
I've never heard that before, the pull.
Yeah, they, all notes have a pull, right? If you sing a sharp four, you know, on top of a major chord, it wants to go to five. It has to go to five. And you can delay that as long as you want, but eventually you're going to pull there. Eventually that note, it just, you know. It's,
and why is that? Is that like a harmonious part of a body energy?
Yeah.
Our ear wants to tune into something. It's not because we knew of that before. It's why is that in the energy form doing that?
Well, I think there's 12 tones, right? And those 12 tones want to move. You know, the only static note or the only two static notes are the one and the five, and those are static. And they, you know, the five chord wants to go to one, but the one and the five, they're solid, right? So everything else is gravitation, you know, has a gravity towards those two notes. So everything that you do as a soloist, and this starts, I started with a real basic, you know, major scale, but everything we do as soloists are pulling towards home, you know, and the delay of that release, that home feeling is what makes it cool.
So you were talking about one of your teachers. I can't even believe how quickly this time has gone by. One of your teachers that was telling you about pitch.
Yeah.
How important that is, because I don't know if you're aware, but if you can teach people not to pull like you were talking about and hold on to your pitch, that is training in itself right there. A life lesson, actually.
Right.
And I remember doing quartet work, and you know how many times you have to stay in your lane, and the person next to you wants to slide into your note, or the person that the alto wants to slide into the second, and you're just like, to be able to be focused, to stay in your lane as a vocalist when you're in a U-shaped is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think that's important to know that, you know, when you can play, you know, it changes with every person you add. You know, you have to be aware. That's what's great about music, though, all music, not jazz, but you have to be aware of yourself. You know, you have to have self-awareness. And I think a lot of people, you know, they don't have that, or they need to learn that, you know, and that's something that the younger musician will need to learn. You know, they need to learn that self-awareness, hearing themselves within the piece. So looking at the individual puzzle piece as well as the entire puzzle at the same time. And I think that's what makes it art, right? Is that it's different for everybody how they see themselves in that picture. But yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, it's been a fascinating time with Greg Takemoto here on KCNR 96.5 FM and KCNR 1460 AM. What a trip. You know, we can go back in the archives here on KCNR and listen to this again. Send it to your friends. It's been fascinating. Loved hearing you. I learned a lot from you tonight.
Thank you, Lindy. I appreciate the opportunity to just talk on and, you know, share things with people and, you know, maybe push my school a little bit.
Yes.
Give the push there.
Let's talk about
that.
Your school one more time.
Yeah, it's a Reading Music School on 1824 Shasta Street. We have a great staff of teachers, and we're doing lessons for all ages, the highest quality lessons. Yeah, and if you want to just swing by and check us out, please check us out. You can give us a call, 530-988-8382.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And this is Linda Bott signing off here on North State Now. We'll, let's see, next week will be Michelle Slade with North State Heroes. All right. Have a great